We'll say 1-300-872-911. Macca's Talking Cairns. Classic hits. 846-4CA.
John McKenzie, Far North Queensland's number one, 4CA.
Now, you would have picked up on this easing of restrictions we've been talking about the last couple of days. I think there's perceptions out there now that it's all embracing, that everything's back to normal, but apparently not. I'm hearing those people that have been struggling through this pandemic, if they're reef operators, they've really struggled. At one stage in the early parts of the whole crisis, they were actually virtually on a roster. You'd get, if you had a boat going out to the reef, maybe one day or 2 days a week, and then somebody else would have a turn taking out the very limited numbers of passengers who wanted to go out there. Not only that, if there was a more significant number, they couldn't fit them on the boat anyway. I think I got one report at one stage, they were down to a maximum permitted of about 25% of their normal passengers on the boats to the reef. Now, I'm going to talk with Gareth Phillips. Gareth is the chief executive of the Association of Marine Park Tourism Operators, and he's set to go. Yes, he is. Hello, Gareth.
Hey, John, how are you doing?
I think a whole lot of people thought, oh, well, that'll be good for the boats too, because they can, you know, get all the numbers they used to take out to the reef. Everything will be tickety-boom, back to normal again. But still, I understand you have pretty strong restrictions as to the number of people you can take out to the reef.
And we still do, John, unfortunately. So with these latest easings, we did get marginally good news, but it was very unclear on the announcement that we actually had to. I spent many hours and actually talking to the tourism minister before we got confirmation that the indoor areas were also considered, we could work at 1 to 2 square metres, but our outdoor areas on the vessels still had to stay at 1 to 4, which makes no sense. So although it helped us a little bit, we're still limited on our numbers. It just seems so many inconsistencies. It's totally confusing.
When you're saying outdoor areas, you'd think that'd be no restrictions at all now, but it's even worse than the inside restrictions. Was it explained to these people that it seemed to be counterintuitive, to say the least?
Well, it is, but it's they don't seem to be getting it. Their explanation is if the rain comes in and you have to put everyone inside, if you have stronger restrictions outside, your numbers are lower, so you're not going to overcrowd the inside. What we're explaining is, first of all, we don't have the people to overcrowd because borders are closed and we need those open. Secondly, our boats are designed to spread out people. We're recreational, you know, activities. You know, our boats are big. They're built to spread people out, have enjoyment. Even if there's rain, there's undercover areas outside that they can. So trying to explain this and going, you know, you're not, one, they're making their life harder. Two, these poor operators, they actually, I keep saying they're on their knees. They're not. They're beyond their knees now. You know, we're operating still at about, some haven't even opened yet because it's not worthwhile. Others, you know, odd ones are up at 30%, and they're the ones we consider are killing it. We're basically running at 15% original capacity. And we're hoping if they're talking about opening borders in December, if we get a little bit of a school travel bubble, can we accommodate that demand? At the moment, no. We're just collapsing. And just stand it. People are losing jobs, John, and we're doing these inconsistent restrictions.
Yeah.
Just watch, you know, go to Maroon, it's fantastic. We have 52,000 people in a stadium for how many hours?
Yes.
And yet our marine operators, we go out to sea. We're swimming in salt water. We spread out underwater, snorkeling, glass bottom boat. You know, we're only on the boat for a reasonably short time, and they're just cutting us short. So it is quite infuriating. The subtle good news is I do seem to have the ear of someone at the moment. They're trying to listen to our feedback and seeing what restrictions they can ease. So that's encouraging. But I still have nothing concrete yet. These poor businesses and staff, it's shocking, you know. And we can't lose this industry. It's in our culture for the Cairns area and even Queensland. People travel to Queensland to see the Great Barrier Reef. Heartbreaking.
Do you know, of course, critically important is getting some benefit financially to keep you all afloat, pardon the pun, from Boxing Day through till the end of the second week of January, when if the borders are open, it should be very busy. That's when you really need to be able to take advantage of a full boat, isn't it, to keep you going through till Easter?
Yeah, because then we move into the quiet season.
Yeah.
And then we get nothing. We go really quiet until June. And then, you know, JobKeeper cuts off at end of March.
Yeah.
And so that's the cliff. We got a huge cliff coming. If we can't get a little bit of resources in the bank to help us survive, and survivors, that seems too positive. We really are on our knees, the industry, not only in Cairns, but throughout the Great Barrier Reef area. You can go sit in a cinema with 100%, but yet you can't go on a reef boat. So trying to understand their thinking, I mean, from that, I'm trying to give them the information, to give them the reassurance and see what compromise we can have. But at the moment, they've just eased us to 2 square metres inside, 4 square metres outside, which helps, but it's not a lot there, I'm afraid.
Now, you said you've got the ear of somebody at long last. We've been talking the last few days about Michael Healy, the member for Cairns, being elevated to the role of Assistant Tourism Minister. He also has a very pronounced gift of the gab. Have you approached him to act as an advocate on this particular case? There would be nobody in Parliament House that would be within a bull's roar of his experience on boats travelling to the reef. He did it for, I think, 16 years or something.
So we have been talking to Michael. The dust is still up in the air a little bit from elections. So we have been talking to him, but I've been talking to the department directly, and now they're trying to get me to someone in Queensland Health that actually advises and helps make the decisions, because it's a complex story to tell. So I will be continuing to reach out with Michael, and he does have a lot of experience. I did meet with the new tourism minister last Friday, and we had a good one-on-one, and he seems to get it, but he now needs to push to make the changes. But obviously, we're still waiting to see, you know. And so I'm relentlessly emailing, on the phone, trying to tell the story of these operators. And we appreciate you using it, but do it consistent. You know, we've asked, and I put a proposal, and that was rejected, for 75% of our vessels' survey carrying capacity. That's just a nice, simple, easy, clear rule that we can follow. If your boat takes 100, right, you're restricted to 75%. If your boat takes 200, they've rejected that, unfortunately. But I'm now asking for a full, can we just have 2 square metres across the whole vessel? You know, that'll give our numbers up a little bit more, you know, and that'll get us towards. Every time you see a vessel leaving port, they're actually losing money because they don't have, you know. While we got JobKeeper assistance, it's pretty close to viability. But as JobKeeper drops back, we drop below viability. We actually run in negative. So if we can get these extra people on when there is demand, which is still not at the moment, we need to be able to supply that service to customers. How bad is it for the air if we can't supply the service that we're advertising, you know, because restrictions from the government? So that's also another thing to look at, market confidence that we can actually supply, as well as our resilience.
This is excellent information, Gareth. By the way, how did you organise that one-on-one meeting with the new tourism minister, Selling Hinchcliffe?
So that's come through, I was down in Brisbane, and that came through QTIC. They were running a function, and so they invited him to come along and meet some of the association CEOs.
Okay.
So I got invited along to that. So there was a few of us in the room, and then I caught him on his own for a bit.
You pinned him to the wall.
I wouldn't say exactly, but I did get it. I did get his ear, and so let's see if he can act on the conversation. And it's good to know that he's assured me he's got Michael very close to him.
Yes.
And with Michael, and I said, well, that's great, because Michael's got experience that no one else has.
Yeah.
And so I'm tackling it from all angles then. At the end of the day, we got people's livelihoods and mental health. And that's what I also said to the minister. COVID is, and we're very serious about keeping people safe by the COVID spreading and preventing it. But there's also mental health issues we've got to deal with, and you know, everyone's facing in this these very tough times. So the health goes beyond preventing the restrictions, moving of the virus around.
All right. Gareth, this has been really worthwhile this morning. Thank you.
Thanks, John. I appreciate the time and giving us the opportunity to tell our story.
No issue. Thank you. That's Gareth Phillips. Gee, that was comprehensive. Really, really useful. He's the CEO of the Association Marine Park Tourism Operators, or AMPTO, if you like. News is